and see that. Well, I just love that title. It comes from metamorphosis, which means changed, transformed. And how many knows that things are meant to grow? Trinity is meant to grow. Babies are meant to grow. Children are meant to grow. Christians are meant to grow. Now, there is, to me, there is a common longing in the hearts of human beings that somehow there is something greater, something more. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at. There is something more for me. How many understand what I'm saying? The fairy tales often capture that longing in a human heart to be transformed and become more free and become the person that they're supposed to be. Fairy tales are just what they are. They're not true. But they point to the gospel, which is true. So for them, Snow White. How many heard of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? Snow White is escaping the queen. Who's a witch? And she found shelter among the seven dwarfs. And but the witch is after her, and she gets an apple and fills it with poison and tempts Snow White to eat it. And when she eats it, she dies. And the seven dwarfs, they don't know what to do. And the prince comes and rescues Snow White and raises her from the dead. Now, what does that have to do with the gospel? My friends, every one of us has been deceived and tempted to eat the forbidden fruit, caused a spiritual death. And we needed somebody to come to rescue us. And Jesus, it says in Galatians chapter 3, he came to take the curse upon himself. Because humanity, apart from God, has been under a curse. The forbidden fruit is sin in your life. But when you eat of that, there is a curse on your life. You're not where you need to be. You're not where God has intended to become. So what happens is Jesus took the curse so that you can have the blessings of Abraham on your life. What's the blessings of Abraham? He says, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. And he goes on to say he'll be a blessing to all the people of the world. So Jesus took the curse that you can become a blessing. But to become a blessing, my friends, you need to grow. You need to grow. So in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about growing. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to what? Equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. What is my job? As a pastor, it is to equip so that the body can be built up. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we all be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we'll no longer be immature like children. There is a sense of growing like a church. And goes on to say the next part. We won't be tossed and blown away about by every wind of the new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of what? The whole point of transformation is that we become full of love. So there's a transformation that takes place inside you, and the transformation means that you become more like Christ, and Christ is love. But it's also a transformation that happens as a body of believers together. We are the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears of Jesus. The ligaments, these parts. It's you. We together is a body representing and reflecting Jesus Christ. You are his hands and his feet, not me alone, but you together, all together. And how are these connected? How's the hands, the arms, the legs connected? By love. Amen? And together we reflect the fullness of Christ as we grow, mature, change, transform. The question to you and me is, why should you? Why go into a spiritual training? Why go into die to self? Why should you? You see, you need a motivation. You have to have a reason for why you wanted to do something that could be somewhat painful at times. That could cost you something. You need a reason. You need motivation. If you go to the doctor and he says to you, you have high blood pressure, and if you don't stop eating these carbs, these potato chips, you are going to die of a heart attack. Well, that's a motivation, right? I smoked once. I'm not going to ask how many here smoked. I was a smoker when I met my wife. And you know, I can look at a pack of cigarettes, and you know what it says on a pack of cigarettes? That this would cause cancer. I could look at that and say, wow, I don't want a cancer, and therefore I'm not going to smoke. But that's not what motivates me, and it's not what motivates most people. Or they wouldn't do it. Right, Derek? Derek was just telling me yesterday how he has quit smoking for 7 weeks. Praise God. So, but you know what motivates me? I will tell you what it did. I came to my wife's apartment, and there was a big poster on the door. And it says, no smoking past this door. And I knew that my wife did not like smoking. And I didn't want to confuse her so that, you know, she rejected me because of my smoking. So I thought I better quit smoking. So why did I quit? Because I loved her. And I want her to marry me. I want her to be my lifelong partner. Do you know why I want to change and get into this training of being transformed and become Christ-like? Because I have fallen in love with Jesus. Not because he says, don't do this, don't do that. Because I have fallen in love with Jesus. He is my heart. He's my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my friend. He's my God. He is the one who holds my future in his hands. That's why I want to please him. So how do I know how to please him? Jesus tells the disciples before he leaves this earth what they need to do. In John 15, verse something. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. How much can you do? Nothing. How much can you change yourself? Nothing. You know what changes you? Jesus changes you. But you need not to do one part. You need to abide in Him. So how do I abide in Him? In John 15, verse 11. No, that's a good one too. But John 15, 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. What she's saying is that the way you grow is you take the word. The way you abide in Him is you take the word and you apply it to your life. I'm talking about spiritual disciplines. As a young Christian, I knew that I needed to grow or I would die spiritually. I need to find a church. I need to attend church. I need to attend church on a regular basis, because if I didn't get the food, I didn't hear the word, I will die. I will just wither. I was coming through Nelson, from Vernon to Nelson, and there was orchards after orchards after orchards of apple trees, and they were falling on the ground, and they were just abundance of apples. And you know, I shared this at the wedding. I realized that somebody studied these apple trees to be able to produce that kind of a fruit. Well, we're no different. Jesus called us to bear fruit. And it takes transformation. And the transformation is something that God does when you abide in Him, when you abide in His Word. Amen? And when you have His Word, you experience love, peace, and joy. But here comes the question. How do I do that? How do I abide in the words? And I know some people have said, I open the word and I don't get anything out of it, or I don't understand it. Or let me share with you a little bit about how to read the word. And how to read the word together. There was a man who came to me a little while back, and he had made a mistake. He had made a wrong choice, and because he made a wrong choice, he lost a lot. I don't know how much. He didn't tell me how much, but he lost a lot. And he came to me and he said, "Hans, I just can't stand it." That's exactly what he said. Because he had made a mistake. And he said, "I cannot." And then he mentioned a whole bunch of people who he thought should have helped him not do what he did. But in the end, he couldn't forgive himself. So I said, "Well, here's a hot coal. Put it in your hand." And he said, "Okay. What would you do with a hot coal in your hand?" He said, "I will throw it away because it burns." I said, "That's exactly true, because if you hang on to what you hang on to, it'll continue to burn until you let it go. And it's a scripture that says, forgive or you will not be forgiven." And now I'm praying, you know, when people come like that and they're desperate and you want to hear from God, because this guy needs to mop. He needs to, what is this word again? He needs to morph. I mean, he needs to morph, right? He needs to morph. Otherwise, he's not going to be able to live. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you're not going to be able to live. So I'm praying, "Lord, how does this man morph? Give me something from heaven." And I open the scriptures to Matthew chapter 6. It says, "Do not worry about all these things, saying, what will you eat, what will you drink, what will you wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father always knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Do not worry about tomorrow. And you know what he said? Here's my spiritual insight. He said, that's hands. It's just words on the page. You guys, you just have these words, and it's just all about words. I'm still stuck. Do you know what I said? Because I got a little, tiny little bit angry. I said, my friend, he is my friend. I didn't make that up. He is my friend. I said, my friend, those very words I had to live myself. I didn't do this just because it's words on the page, but I had to live that out myself. When I knew that there was no money coming in, I knew that I didn't know how to pay for the mortgage, I didn't know how to pay the salaries, I knew that I on this, God came through his promise. I was stuck. But rather than running away, I said, Lord, in your word, there is a promise. And unless I have sinned and done something that causes you blessing to leave, God, this promise still stands and is yes and amen. And Lord, it says here that if I seek you first, all these things will be met. So Lord, so I said to the man, this is not just words on the page. This is not just something you got to do. This is his word. This is Jesus talking to you. Sorry for screaming. Spiritual discipline, reading the word. My friends, this is not just words on the page. It is Jesus talking to you. It is God talking to you. And when you apply it, you grow. When you obey it, you grow. You know, when you are angry at your wife and you remember the scripture that says, your prayers will not be answered if you don't treat your wife well. Something like that, remember? They say, oh, I better stop this. When you're offended and you remember the scripture that says, forgive or you'll not be forgiven, you stop. I mean, God talks to you and says, hands, you're hanging on to this world. It's time to give. Give and it'll be given down to you, shaken up. Give and it'll be given to you, shaken down, pressing over. Give, and God began to say to me, you need to tithe, you need to give. You need to be generous because Jesus is a generous God. Whenever I obey, I grow. I grow. There was a book out many years ago called Experience in the Presence of God or something like that by Blackaby. How many have read that book? In that book, he says, one day they discovered that their daughter had cancer. And as pastors and Christians, he sent out information to all his friends. Please pray for my daughter. She has cancer. And he felt the scripture came to his heart. But not only did it come to his heart, it also came through many of the people praying. They sent him words from God saying, this sickness will not end in death, but be for the glory of God. Which comes out of John 11, when Lazarus was dying. And Jesus got the word, and he said, this death, this sickness will not lead to death. So the Father claimed it for himself. Says, Lord, I believe that is what you're saying about my daughter. And he prayed. And 3 months later, the doctor said, we cannot find any more cancer. The word, my friends, is alive. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. dividing bone and marrow, soul and spirit, exposing your attitude. How many sometimes have an attitude that's not very good? In Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been changed into new and different. Can you just say this again? Let's read it together. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been changed into new and different. Changed to what? People who are Christ-like. People who are of love. Do you know Hindus, they set themselves apart by putting a mark on their forehead? Sikhs have a turban. Muslims wear a little thing around this. Orthodox Jews have a black hat. Plymouth Brethren have long dresses. They all have marks of who they are. But Jesus says to us, there is one mark that's going to mark you. Do you know what that is? It's love. You may have all the spiritual gifts in the whole world. You may be charismatic. You may have seen hundreds of thousands of people saved. But if you have no love, you have nothing. You have nothing. My friends, you can be a Christian for 100 years or for 20 years or for 5 years. But transformation is going from somebody who is critical, bitter, selfish, self-centered to becoming full of love. Do you love your wife better today than you did yesterday or last week? Then you have grown in your marriage. Do you love Jesus better today than you did last week or last year? Then you have grown. You cannot afford not to grow. And growing, my friends, is something you do between you and God, but also something we do corporately as brothers and sisters. In small groups or in church or in friendships and mentoring. And I know some people say to me, Hans, I don't like these people. They are grumpy. They are this. They are that. And I said, exactly, that's why you need to morph. When I was married, my wife said one day, she said to me, Hans, before I was married, all these things was never a problem. I think I knew what she was getting at. But that's the reality. The truth is, if you're not in relationship with other people, all these other things will not come out. But they come out because God wants to deal with it. He wants you to grow and mature. And how do you know when somebody grows and matures? Because they're able to forgive their enemies. They're able to let go of their offense. They're able to see the best in people. They're able to bring out Jesus in them. That's all I know. Amen. Are you ready to grow? I am so sure there's a song like that. Grow, grow, grow. But I'm not going to sing it for you. It's a road. So let me pray, and then we're going to do something a little different today. Lord Jesus, I pray you realign us with what you call us to do, which is to become disciples. And disciples are people who grow, who mature, who change, who transform. And none of us have arrived yet. We are the workmanship of God. We all need to change. We all need to grow. So help us be committed to that spiritual disciplines of seeking your word, God, of seeking you, and let you change us and transform us and encourage us. So bless this church, God. And everybody, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're in church today and said, hands, I have never experienced this curse being removed. I have never given my heart to Jesus. I have never surrendered my life to you, God. But I want to. If that's you, just put up your hand and I'll pray with you. I'm going to say it again. You've all eaten of that forbidden fruit. And with that comes the darkness of God. The darkness of the enemy. And that curse can be removed from you the moment you surrender. So if you're in church today and said, hands, I've never surrendered, I want to. I want that curse to be removed in my life. I want the prince to come and take me by the hand and bring me into the promised land. If that's you, I just put up your hand. Thank you, Jesus. I saw that hand and I will pray for you. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you. Let's just pray together. We thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for the curse to be removed. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving us, for taking our sins upon that cross. And now I ask you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. I want to grow. I don't want to be the same this year as I will be next year. I want to be more like you. So, Lord, help me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask.